And now, the life of Mary Southern. Impulsive decisions often bring about startling results. And Mary's sudden decision to see Dr. DeRoy, a famous Swiss specialist, to persuade him to come to Sanders and examine Phyllis, Max's crippled sister, has led into surprising challenges. When Mary arrived in Chicago, she went directly to the doctor's hotel, but the doctor's secretary refused to allow her to speak with the doctor. He told her they were leaving early the following morning to fly to New York, and that the doctor could not possibly see anyone. Mary declared she'd stay in the lobby until she did see him. In the meantime, back in Sanders, Max had had a strange visit from Cheney, a gambler who was wanted by the police. Some time ago, Max made an attempt to apprehend Cheney and his mob. During a raid, the police arrested Max, believing he was one of the gang. He was released on bail with the understanding that as soon as Cheney was recaptured, Max would return to jail and stand trial. We're glad Mary doesn't know about Cheney's visit, because she has troubles of her own facing heartbreaking failure in her mission to see Dr. DeRoy. It is over an hour since Mary told Paul Hopper, the doctor's secretary, that she would wait in the lobby until she did see the doctor. He's still there, and we find her now at a house telephone, calling Dr. DeRoy's suite once more.
Hello? Yes, operator, Dr. DeRoy, suite 316. Thank you. Oh, hello. Mr. Hopper, this is Mrs. Sanders. I'm so sorry to keep on troubling you, but I'm very anxious to speak to the doctor. Can you possibly see me? But, Mr. Hopper, this is important, and I won't take much of this time, just a few minutes. I realize he's going away in the morning. That's why I must talk to him now. Mr. Hopper, won't you please ask him? I'm almost positive he... Hello? Hello, Mr. Hopper. Oh, dear, he's hung up. Well, we just have to wait until he comes down. I don't care if it's all night.
Mrs. Sanders?
Yes?
May I see you a moment, please?
Oh, certainly. What is it?
Well, it's rather difficult to say this, Mrs. Sanders, but well, I'm only the hotel clerk. There's nothing else I can do.
Well, I'll understand. What do you wish to tell me?
Well, Dr. DeRoy's secretary has asked me not to allow you to disturb him again.
Oh. He called just now and told you that?
Yes. I'm very sorry.
Oh, that's quite all right. You're only doing what's expected of you.
If you wish to leave a message in his box, he'd receive it first thing in the morning.
Well, that wouldn't do much good. But thanks, just the same, for suggesting it.
Perhaps if you stop by tomorrow, you might see him as he leaves.
I think he'd prefer I go now, wouldn't you?
Oh, no, not at all. I just thought...
I know I shouldn't go. Really, only to sit here this long, I suppose, but I have the crazy notion I'd stay here all night if necessary until I saw the doctor.
I don't think that would be very comfortable, Mrs. Sanders.
Oh, I will do it, of course, but I simply can't afford to miss the doctor when he leaves tomorrow. Now, I thought if I was here...
As I said before, you might return early.
Well, that's what I'll do. Sorry if I put you in any trouble.
Not at all, madam.
Good night, then.
Good night. Cab, miss?
No, thank you. I'll walk.
Yeah, that's right. It's me, Mrs. Sanders. Cheney.
What do you want? I
want to see you. Get in the car quick.
But I can't do that.
Look, Mr. Sanders, don't argue with me now. I got to talk to you. Hop in quick. We got to get away from here. I hope your kind of apartment looks a bit joint. I ain't been here myself in a couple of months. But tell me a little justice.
I'm not interested in the appearance of the room, Mr. Cheney. What I want to know is, why did you bring me here?
I'll tell you, Mrs. Sanders, but come on in a bit, will you? Don't have to be afraid of me.
I'm not in the least afraid. But I do resent the way you practically forced me into your car and drove me here.
I couldn't help it, Mrs. Sanders, honest. I'll give you the whole lowdown if you'll just come inside.
Well, for just a few minutes, then.
Good. Yeah, let me take some of this junk off this chair and you sit down.
Don't bother. I'm not staying very long.
See, Mrs. Sanders, I wish you wouldn't be sore. Guess maybe I did give you a rush into the car, but it wasn't healthy for me to hang around that corner. I had to talk to you.
How did you know I was in that hotel?
Well, I called up a couple of hotels where I figured you'd be stopping. Finally, I got the right one. They told me you'd gone out, but you left a message where you were.
I can't understand how you knew I was in Chicago.
Oh, that's easy. I breezed into Sanders tonight.
You were in Sanders?
Yeah. Now, will you sit down and let me tell you all about it?
All right, all right. Tell me what happened.
Now, first, I don't want you to get worried. I only saw one person in town, and that was your husband.
Where did you see Meg?
Well, it's your house. I stopped off to say hello. See how the world had been treating you folks.
Wasn't it dangerous for you to take such a chance?
Breathing is dangerous to me the way things are. I've been playing hide-and-seek with the cops for 3 months. I'm getting sick of being it.
It must be a frightful way of living, Mr. Keene.
Well, it ain't no bed of petunias, Mrs. Sanders, but we'll skip that. I wanted to ask you about the little lady.
Oh, Miss Phillips.
Yeah. Dex tells me she ain't doing so well.
No. She's been crippled ever since the baby was born.
Oh, gee, that's tough. You know, I was in on the first part of that little lady's trouble. I've always kind of wondered about it.
You saved her life right after she had the baby, Mr. King. If you hadn't gone for the film, we'd have lost her then.
That wasn't too much to do. I just happened to be handy at the time. Any guy would have done it.
Well, I'm not so sure. That was just about the time your gambling rooms were raided, and it had been safer for you to have left and not come back.
Say, I couldn't take a run-out part on the little lady at a time like that.
That's why it was such a fine thing to do. You put her problem ahead of your own.
When you forget that, you'll have me thinking I'm a great guy. I know I'm a mug.
Well, where Phyllis is concerned, I'll always think you're a great guy, Mr. King.
Well, thanks, Mrs. Sanders, but I wish you'd tell me some more about it. Will this fancy doc you come up to see be able to help us?
I guess we'll never know if he could have helped her or not.
What do you mean by that?
I wasn't able to see him tonight.
How come? Was he out?
No, he was in his room. But he wouldn't let me come up and talk to him.
Why, that big palooka? You mean to say he turned you down
for... I didn't speak directly to the doctor. I spoke to his secretary. He told me the doctor'd retired.
Does that mean he hit the hay?
Yes, and he and his secretary are leaving on the 6 o'clock train tomorrow for New York.
Mm-hmm. Why are they going to the big town?
The doctor's returning to Switzerland, sailing a few hours after he reaches New York.
Oh, he is? Listen, Mrs. Sanders, do you think that guy can cure the little lady?
I don't know. He's considered to be one of the finest specialists in the world for spinal ailments.
Oh, that's a trouble. Spinal stuff, huh?
Mm-hmm. The nerve centers that control the use of the legs seem to be paralyzed.
She have to stay in bed?
No. She gets around a little. In a wheelchair, but... Lately, she seems to be growing weaker.
Guess she can't look after her kids then, huh?
No, not at all. Both of them have been at the clinic ever since she came home from the hospital.
That must be tough on a woman.
Mr. Keene, I think it's the greatest sorrow any woman can have. Phyllis is such a sweet little mother. Them and their babies are a whole world.
She's just a kid herself. What does that doctor and Sanders say about it?
John thinks the case is pretty hopeless.
And how come he recommends the other doctor?
Well, he didn't. Mr. Barton, the man who's building the new factory in Sanders, told us about him. Then we asked Dr. Benson. He said if anyone could help her, this Dr. DeRoy might be the one.
What does the little lady think?
Phyllis is positive he can help her. That's the whole trouble. She's read about the cases he has cured, and it's given her so much confidence in him that I'm afraid she's never had faith in any other doctor.
Well, then, he's going to have to see her.
But I can't reach him.
No, well, you quit worrying, Mrs. Sanders. I'm in on this now. There's one thing I'm kind of handy at. It's reaching guys that can't be reached.
Jenny, what are you up to now? You've made us a little leery with that boast about being handy at reaching people who can't be reached. Surely you wouldn't attempt to use gangster methods on Dr. DeRoy. We sincerely hope you'll think twice before you do anything impulsive that may cause Mary a great deal more trouble than she has now. The Life of Mary Southern, the poignant story of a young married woman and the problems she faces in her marriage to a lovable old hoodlum. Mary Southern comes to you each weekday at the same time with the best wishes of Ipana Toothpaste. Today we make you a free offer. It's a free offer of a trial size tube of Ipana. I-P-A-N-A, Ipana, the famous toothpaste that's made especially for gum massage as well as for cleaning and brightening your teeth. Why are we making this free offer? Because we want each of you to prove to yourself that what we've said almost every day on this program is absolutely true. This is what we've said. That the very first time you use Ipana and massage, you feel a tang, a tingling sensation that you get only from Ipana and massage. Now this tang, of course, tells you that you are stimulating your gums, waking up circulation, just as a brisk rub down wakes up circulation throughout your body. And what does that stimulation mean? I probably don't have to tell you. But it means that Ipana and massage helps make your gums firmer and healthier. And that's the very basis of brighter teeth and a lovelier smile. We say when you first use Ipana with massage, you feel that exclusive tang. But we also say you don't have to take our word for it. We say, prove it yourself. And because of our free offer, it won't cost you a cent. Here's all you do to get your trial-sized tube of Ipana free. Just send your name and address on a penny postcard, if you like, to Ipana, I-P-A-N-A, Ipana, care of the station to which you are listening. The address again is Ipana, care of the station to which you are listening. Send for your trial tube of Ipana today and discover the Ipana way to healthier gums, brighter teeth, and a more radiant smile.